St. Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and he said something that I consider, I don't know about you, but I consider it kind of startling. He said, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit." Now, I don't know if you find that startling or not. The thing that startled me about this phrase, "do not quench the Spirit," is that Paul was basically saying to us that we have the power or the ability to quench the Spirit. We are capable of quenching the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, one with the Father and Jesus the Son, can do whatever he wants. He is God Almighty with the Father and the Son. Absolutely anything. And yet, as I said, I find this kind of a startling thought that St. Paul conveys to us. We can quench the Spirit. Now, if you are here this evening with me to celebrate this Eucharist, the death and resurrection of Jesus, I believe of you, as I do of myself, that we do not want to quench the Spirit. I believe that we are here because we want to receive and renew ourselves in the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here. In this Eucharist we celebrate, we certainly receive Jesus, and when we receive Jesus, we grow in the power of His Holy Spirit. He brings His Holy Spirit with Him. He is ready to set us on fire with His Holy Spirit. And yet, we are capable, heeding St. Paul's warning, of quenching the Spirit. Now, there's a very obvious way, you probably could guess, of how we can quench the Holy Spirit. It's sin. When we commit sin, we turn away from God and His ways. And therefore, we must repent of our sin, seek God's forgiveness, especially through the sacrament of reconciliation, and once again be open and cleansed to receive His Holy Spirit. But there is a danger in thinking of ourselves as needing only to be cleansed of sin. It's absolutely vital and essential that we go to confession regularly to receive God's forgiveness. The absolution is conferred on His church that they can give us through our priests to be forgiven of sin. But Pope John Paul, now Saint John Paul, would put it this way. We should not, he said, writing in his letter to the beginning of the church at the beginning of the third millennium, our millennium, from the year 2000, he said, we should not be content with a minimal standard of Christian life, just avoiding sin, although that's absolutely essential. Rather, we should remember, St. John Paul said, that we are all called to be saints. Another way of connecting that with what St. Paul writes is this: the Holy Spirit desires to make you and me, make us all, into saints. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to make us saints. In fact, St. John Paul put it like this. He said, we should be able to say to everyone who's baptized, why were you baptized? And we should be able to all answer, all of us who are baptized should be able to answer, so that we can become saints. Now, at this point, you may be starting to hesitate. I know I do, a little at least, hesitate at the thought that the Holy Spirit wishes to dwell in you and set you on fire and help you to become a saint. Doesn't that sound like a daunting prospect? Are you sure that you want to become a saint? We imagine all kinds of things of what it means to become a saint. And I think the most important thing we can do this particular Sunday of Advent is to remember something that all saints have in common, and they're all very different, one from another. And it has to do with that third pink candle lit this Sunday, which reminds us that the beginning of the life of a saint is found in joy. Joy is where becoming a saint starts within us. It's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, whom St. Paul writes about to the Galatians. Joy! If you have experienced the joy of knowing Jesus and the power of his Holy Spirit living within you, then you are on your way to becoming a saint. That's not so bad, is it? I hope it isn't. But this evening we heard from three people who show us a little more, I would say perhaps a lot more, of what it takes to become a saint. Let's start with John the Baptist, whom we heard about in the Gospel. What a saint does is to understand that, in this case, he is on a mission from God. John's mission was foretold centuries before he came to earth by the prophet Isaiah, from whom we heard in the first reading, the messenger sent to prepare the way for Jesus. John quotes him. He says, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." And you know what? Just as John the Baptist has a mission that God had prepared for him centuries before his birth, God has also prepared a mission for you and me. And what John the Baptist shows is that we need to discover and understand what God's mission is for ourselves and to embrace that mission, so much so that you might even say of John, as the Gospel tells us, he came as a witness to testify to the light. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Who is John? He basically is defined or made up by his mission. His mission is who he is. Knowing your mission, and we all have a mission from God, is a really important part of becoming a saint. And of course, like John, saying yes to that mission. Now today, in place of a psalm, it's a little unusual, we had a canticle from Luke's Gospel chapter 1. We sang together, "My soul rejoices in the Lord, my soul rejoices in the Lord." And the person who utters those words is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And what we had in place of the psalm today is known as the Magnificat. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary utters these words when she is full of the Holy Spirit, and she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, "How has this come about that the mother of my Lord has come to me?" And Mary cries out, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary, who is the greatest of saints and queen of all the saints, shows us another thing that saints have, a very obvious one. They have said yes to receiving Jesus. They've allowed him to come within themselves and to grow. Just like Jesus was at that moment about 3 months along, growing within her physically, he had also inhabited her spiritually. He was growing within her, and she was fully inflamed by this love of Jesus that had taken over her life. And so what a saint does is he or she, and you and I need to do this, say yes to Jesus coming into our lives. Let him live within you and grow within you spiritually, just like Mary did, the greatest of all saints. And finally, think about St. Paul's words. He speaks of how we are to be renewed in spirit, soul, and body. What happens when you say yes to the mission God has given you? What happens when you say yes to Jesus living and growing within you? You are being transformed. That's the work of the Holy Spirit that Paul was talking about. When we do not quench the Spirit, but let him fill us with the fire of his love, transform us, it's not just a little thing or one thing, it's everything of who you and I are. We allow our whole beings to be transformed. We become the same person still, but completely different. People begin to look at us and see not just us, but the face of Christ in us. There is no greater thing in the world than to become a saint, which is to say, the person whom God has called you to be. What happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives like John the Baptist and Mary and Paul? We are transformed. We embrace the mission God has given us. We allow Jesus to grow within us, and all of who we are becomes more and more the image of Jesus himself. This third Sunday of Advent, we are called to say yes. We want to start with the joy of the season. Pope Francis calls it the joy of the gospel. And when we say yes to joy, yes to our mission, and yes to Jesus, we say yes to the power of his Holy Spirit. Let us give thanks for the season of joy that approaches. We celebrate a little early with the pink candle, the third Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, as we call it this Sunday. Let us say yes to our mission, so that we also may be transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit.